we have to find a way in this country, you know, for energy and environmental issues, others to really work together. I think the Keystone formula is a model of people talking with each other rather than yelling with each other or denigrating each other. And it's a situation that works.
Welcome to Keynotes, Stories of Collective Impact, a podcast from the Keystone Policy Center. I'm your host, Marcus Chavez. Today we kick off the second series of episodes in our year-long initiative celebrating the Keystone Policy Center's 50th anniversary. You will recall that our last series told the story of the founding of Keystone and the remarkable life of our founder, Bob Craig. I strongly encourage you to listen to that series if you have not done so already. In today's series, we'll take a deep dive into Keystone's groundbreaking work in the energy sector. We'll begin by exploring its early efforts in nuclear waste management and energy regulation, and how these initiatives laid the foundation for decades of impactful collaboration. We'll also examine how Keystone supported energy development near tribal lands, empowering communities to take control of their resources and shape their energy futures. We'll also tell you about the highly influential Keystone Energy Board and the work Keystone has accomplished related to climate change. But first, let's step back in time and discover how Keystone's pioneering work in energy set the stage for its ongoing legacy of innovation and collaboration within the energy sector. Late in the 1970s and 1980s, the energy industry faced mounting challenges. The U.S. was grappling with the complexities of nuclear waste management, a problem that posed not only environmental risks, but also political and social dilemmas. Energy regulations were also in flux, with debates over the best path forward for a nation increasingly dependent on diverse energy sources. The stakes were high. Policymakers, industry leaders, and environmental advocates often found themselves at odds, each group armed with differing priorities and perspectives. What was needed was neutral ground, a place where dialogue could replace discord. That's where Keystone stepped in. Under the leadership of Bob Craig, Keystone offered something revolutionary, a facilitation process that wasn't about choosing sides, but about finding common ground. Here's Phil Sharp, a former member of Congress, an all-around energy policy leader, and former co-chair of the Keystone Energy Board.
And Keystone has managed to play a role of saying, hey, let's take some of those people out of that immediate arena of conflict and see if we can get them to start acting differently and listening and talking to each other. And sometimes it doesn't pay off. It doesn't resolve some. But very often what I noticed was we have a dialogue on nuclear waste or whatever it was that I participated in. And it did not come up with the solution. But what was interesting is that individuals and contending points of view could talk afterward. It set up a process in which they could actually get along. And what people find over and over is, you know what? Sometimes we have to fight it out. But most often, we have to figure out how we're going to work together to keep the corporation operating, to make the NGO work, to get the environmental regulations, whatever it is. And that is where I see both the intellectual looking forward and the bringing together. It's a combination.
Phil's sentiments are echoed by Tom Kuhn, the former president and CEO of the Edison Electrical Institute.
Keystone got out in front of issues. They didn't wait until they were the major escalating issues like climate change. I remember Keystone got into that issue when people were, very, very skeptical of it, that they didn't think it was ever going to be a major issue. And, so I followed suit and did that with our board and the industry. And Keystone was there all along as part of the dialogues of the people that were making those decisions or influencing those decisions.
These early meetings were about more than just policy debates. They were about trust building. Keystone recognized that the path to sustainable solutions lay in fostering relationships and encouraging open, honest communication. David Owens, another force in the energy sector who is currently the president of Division and Strategies, highlights how Keystone's unique approach helped stakeholders move beyond entrenched positions, focusing instead on shared objectives.
The big issue of that time was PURPA, Public Utilities Regulatory Policies Act, and all the competitive issues that were beginning to affect the electric utility industry. In fact, increased competition was really the theme. And so there were a lot of other laws that followed PURPA, which was a part of the 1977 or 1978 Energy Act under President Carter. And I got intimately involved in Keystone and a number of collaborations because these issues were all kind of new. We were bringing in cogeneration and small power production, and they were new competitors for the electric utility industry. So there was a lot of anxiety that existed at that time with all this uncertainty and the evolving role of utilities. And that was also something that we discussed fairly significantly in the Keystone dialogues, the Keystone collaborations. We brought industry, we brought government, a whole different crew of folks. In fact, I think it was the first collaboration, precursor to many other collaborations, that began to demonstrate how valuable listening to one another, understanding one another's viewpoints, and trying to resolve some of the issues. So it was very, very helpful.
These discussions laid the foundation for a more collaborative energy sector, one that could navigate the complexities of regulation, technology, and environmental stewardship with a unified approach. But while Keystone was making early strides on nuclear waste management and convening energy sector leaders, another significant challenge was emerging: energy development on and near tribal lands. For decades, Native American communities had been marginalized in energy negotiations, often left with little to say how their lands and resources were utilized. Historically, these energy deals were brokered by external entities, leaving tribal leaders with minimal control over their own resources. The Bureau of Indian Affairs often negotiated on behalf of the tribes, resulting in agreements that did not always reflect the best interests of the communities involved. Keystone recognized this inequity and saw an opportunity to apply its collaborative model to address these imbalances. The organization's goal is clear: empower tribal communities to take control of their energy futures and ensure their voices were not just heard, but central in the decision-making process. John Echohawk, the founder of the Native American Rights Fund, was a key figure in those early discussions. He shares his recollections of this early work.
One of the things that changed, of course, was their relationships with the energy companies. And the energy companies didn't understand all this tribal politics and what was going on and things. They were just used to dealing with the Bureau of Indian Affairs. But all of a sudden, they had to deal with the tribes. Who are these guys? Who are these tribes? And what's this about? And so they had reached out to the Keystone Policy Center and Bob Craig, because Bob knew some of these people, and asked if Bob could help them learn about the tribes. And then Bob turned around and reached out to the Council of Energy Resource Tribes, me and Ed Gabriel, who happened to be the executive director of the Council of Energy Resource Tribes, and we put together the Indian Business Roundtable, sponsored by Keystone, to bring together the tribal leaders and the business leaders, energy business leaders, to get to know each other. And we had a series of meetings that were really very, very productive and informative for the business people, informative for the tribes, and really kind of learning how to work together on these energy deals.
As you heard John Echohawk explain, this initiative led to the creation of the Indian Business Roundtable, a groundbreaking forum that brought tribal leaders face to face with energy industry executives. Through a series of productive meetings, both groups gained a deeper understanding of each other's perspectives and priorities. Ed Gabriel, the founding executive director of the Council of Energy Resource Tribes, or CERT, was instrumental in those early efforts. He recalls how the partnership between Keystone and CERT opened new doors for both groups.
So in the course of talking to Bob, I said, you know, your facilitation process may work beautifully with the Council of Energy Resource Tribes. We have 20-some tribes now that were members at the time. And we're talking about how do we really begin to talk better to governors, in the state, mainly around water rights to begin with, but mineral rights as well, and also to the business sector. How can we do business? Because that was the beginning of Indian self-determination. And tribes are beginning to say, we don't need the BIA anymore, the Bureau of Indian Affairs. We need to do it ourselves. How do we do that? And that's how they empowered CERT on minerals. But they wanted to expand and really make their own decisions for their own tribes. And so we started a long-term Indian business roundtable discussion, which led to a spinoff on Indian water rights and other associations that really put Keystone on a new track. At the time, you know, they were dealing with nuclear non-proliferation issues, nuclear waste issues. Mm-hmm. But when we got involved in this, it opened a whole big new door and actually opened the door to the energy program that Keystone later became so well known for.
The Indian Business Roundtable was more than just a collective effort. It was a transformative moment in tribal sovereignty. Tribes are not merely participants in energy negotiations. They were leading the discussions on behalf of their tribes. The impact of this collaboration extended far beyond the immediate benefits of more equitable energy agreements. It also set a precedent for how Keystone could work alongside tribal communities to address other complex issues, fostering a spirit of mutual respect and partnership. This is work that we will highlight more fully in the coming months. This chapter of Keystone's history is a testament to the power of its approach. It was not just a means to solve problems, but the avenue in which Keystone empowers communities to create lasting change. While Keystone was making strides in facilitating energy development on tribal lands, the broader energy sector was facing a rapidly shifting regulatory landscape. The late 20th century saw significant changes in energy policy, driven by the need to modernize infrastructure, improve efficiency, and address environmental concerns. Regulatory challenges during this period were complex and often contentious. Utilities, regulators, and environmental groups frequently found themselves at odds, with each party advocating for their own set of priorities. The challenge was clear. How do we develop policies that balance the needs for reliable energy with environmental sustainability and economic viability? Keystone's unique facilitation process became a critical tool in these discussions. Here's David Owens.
At first, I was a little bit protective because this was all new to me. Sitting around and sharing my innermost thoughts and even some of my strategic thoughts with others. And you had to gain a level of trust. So it took a while, it took several months and several different meetings. In fact, I even remember going to Colorado and I think it was Robert Craig who was the precursor of all of this. And he got us together and we would spend 3 and 4 and 5 days at Keystone, getting to know one another, getting to be comfortable with one another. And then once we have reached that level of comfort, we begin to trust one another and we begin to be much more open and much more collaborative and much more sensitive. And so Keystone was the one that started all of that.
These dialogues were not just about immediate policy changes. They were about creating a framework for ongoing collaboration. Keystone's approach ensured that even as regulations evolved, the core principles of trust, transparency, and mutual respect remain central. Tom Kuhn highlights how Keystone's approach is needed now more than ever to help shape a long-term energy strategy.
I think the nonpartisanship, the bipartisanship is extremely important. We have to find a way in this country, you know, for energy and environmental issues and others to really work together to find. I think the Keystone formula is a model of people talking with each other rather than yelling with each other or denigrating each other. And it's a situation that works when you try and start out by saying, we've got issues, let's agree on what the problems are, and let's find bipartisan solutions to move forward on them.
Keystone's role in these regulatory discussions exemplifies its commitment to proactive rather than reactive policymaking. By fostering an environment where diverse voices could be heard, Keystone helped ensure that energy policies were not only effective, but also equitable and forward-thinking. Keystone's early work in energy was just the beginning. By addressing complex issues through dialogue and partnership, Keystone helped shape a more inclusive and forward-thinking energy sector. But the story doesn't end there. In our next episode, we'll dive into the Keystone Energy Board, an innovative forum that has brought together leaders from across the energy spectrum to tackle some of the most pressing challenges of our time, From pioneering discussions on grid resilience to shaping groundbreaking transmission policies, the Energy Board has been at the heart of it all. So join us next time as we uncover how this unique collaboration has influenced energy policy for decades and continues to drive the industry forward. Keynotes is a production of the Keystone Policy Center, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based out of Keystone, Colorado, which for 50 years has empowered leaders to reach common higher ground. If you would like to learn more about the Keystone Policy Center, please visit our website at keystone.org.